On Friday's front page, Syrian army defectors are organizing attacks from Turkey. President Obama promised not to take money from lobbyists, but 13 of his so-called bundlers are involved in lobbying in Washington. And prosecutors charged 11 people in a disability scam that gave Long Island Railroad workers big pensions. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says Turkey is sheltering a group of insurgents that's orchestrating attacks against Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. On Wednesday, the insurgents claimed responsibility for killing 9 Syrian soldiers in an attack in Syria. Times reporter Liam Stack says the insurgents are led by Colonel Riyad al-Assad.
I interviewed the colonel, and he says that he is committed to overthrowing the regime of President Bashar al-Assad and seeing a civilian government take power in Syria. Turkey's apparent relationship with the Free Syrian Army marks a dramatic shift in its foreign policy towards Syria. Turkey's relationship with Syria has collapsed. Turkish officials are angry because Syria has made repeated promises of political reform, but has so far failed to see them through.
Times reporter Liam Stack. Turkey's support for the insurgents comes amid a broader Turkish campaign to undermine Assad's government. Turkey is expected to impose sanctions on Syria. It's also deepened its support for an opposition group known as the Syrian National Council. Also on Friday's page one, President Obama promised not to take money from lobbyists. But Friday's Times says 13 of his so-called bundlers are involved in lobbying in Washington. Bundlers are supporters who solicit donations as well as making their own contributions. So far, the 13 have raised more than $4 million for Mr. Obama. None is actually registered as a lobbyist, so in a technical sense, they don't run afoul of the president's self-imposed ban. But they do have access. Several bundlers have played host to the president at fundraisers. They've also met with him on policy matters. The economy picked up in the third quarter. The Commerce Department said total output grew at an annual rate of 2.5% from July to September. That was almost double the 1.3% rate from March to June. Most economists expect the U.S. will carry on at the higher rate through the end of the year. But Bernard Baumol of the Economic Outlook Group cautioned most people won't see a difference between 2% growth and recession. He says at 2%, new hiring won't make a dent in unemployment. Stock markets rallied after European leaders agreed on a deal to restructure Greece's debt. The breakthrough came after 2 in the morning. Negotiators had spent hours trying to convince banks to accept a 50% loss on the face value of the Greek bond holdings. Finally, German Chancellor Angela Merkel called the bankers' bluff. Investors skipped over whatever uncertainties remain. The Dow Jones Industrials soared 339 points to close at 12,208.55, while the broader Standard & Poor's 500 was up even more. Here in New York, 11 people were charged in a disability scam. Prosecutors say some Long Island Railroad workers claimed disabilities and collected pensions they didn't deserve. They spent much of their time playing golf after they retired. One of the defendants was former railroad union leader Joseph Rattigliano. Another was a doctor who falsely certified the workers' disabilities. Times reporter William K. Rashbaum explains.
Virtually every career employee of the railroad was applying for and receiving disability payments, giving the Long Island Railroad a disability rate of 3 to 4 times that of the average railroad. Under federal law, the railroad workers are entitled to file for disability claims. But in this instance, the authorities said, the doctors prepared fraudulent assessments that could cost the United States Railroad Retirement Board, the agency that funds the pensions, an estimated $1 billion. Rattigliano, in his words, crushed his back in an injury at home.
Since 1988, I worked with a bad back.
In the last year before he retired, he worked 500 hours of overtime and did not take a single sick day. He also filed for and received a disability pension. In 2008, he was playing golf regularly.
Times reporter William K. Rashbaum. The two major ruling bodies in golf have approved changes that are almost revolutionary. One was 267 years in the making. The changes affect everyone from pros competing for millions to weekend golfers who only have a $2 bet on the line. One of the changes says you won't be penalized a stroke if the wind moves your ball while your club is nearby. The other says if you smooth the sand when you're playing from a bunker, well, that's okay too, as long as you don't give yourself an advantage. Inside Friday's Times, the UN Security Council is ending the legal basis for NATO attacks on Colonel Muammar al-Qaddafi's forces. This comes a week after Qaddafi was killed while trying to escape from his hometown. But the vote came despite new worries in Libya that remnants of Qaddafi loyalists may regroup outside Libya's borders and try to go back in. Egypt released a 27-year-old man who'd been charged with spying for Israel in exchange for 25 Egyptians held in Israeli jails. Ilan Grappel has American and Israeli citizenship. He was taken to Jerusalem to meet with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu as Egyptian officials were calling the exchange a diplomatic victory. In Detroit, auto workers approved the last of their new 4-year labor contracts with the big three car companies. Friday's Times says the manufacturers held the line on costs. Financial analysts say it's one of the cheapest contracts ever negotiated. Workers will get raises of about 1% a year. They're also getting signing bonuses and better profit-sharing formulas. The voting was closer than in the past. New York City's first casino opens on Friday. Times reporter Dan Bilewski calls it a racino because it's at Aqueduct Racetrack in Queens. Resorts World says it will generate up to $1.5 million a day for New York State. That's our preview of Friday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. From our newsroom in New York, I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.